This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Elaine Meyer back on the program with us this week. Elaine is Associate Director of Communications for the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University, where she is also a writer and editor for the 2x2 Project. We're going to be continuing a conversation we began last week with Elaine about an article she wrote for the 2x2 Project entitled Gambling with America's Health, the Public Health Costs of Legal Gambling. Last week, we talked about why we do not hear more about the public health problems surrounding gambling, including the addictive nature of video slot machines, which are popular at casinos, and why the public health community has started to recognize gambling as an addiction similar to drugs and alcohol. This week, we're going to be picking back up with that discussion. Elaine, welcome back to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Elaine, you write in the article that gambling availability has other public health ramifications beyond addiction. What are some of the other public health harms of gambling that you have seen in your studies?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because I think that people who don't have addiction problems tend to see, they have a hard time seeing how casinos might impact them. But first, so there are many, many other public health ramifications. One is that addiction is never just a problem for the addict. It's a problem for families that become, you know, broken by it, employers who might be the victims of theft. That's one thing that comes up a lot is gamblers who embezzle money from their employers. There have been some studies that show that crime goes up, that crime rises, including the most comprehensive study that looked at all of the U.S. over, I believe, 25 years. And then things like bankruptcies leave behind foreclosed vacant homes, and that certainly has effects. There's also this issue of greater economic inequality, which public health researchers consider strongly associated with health disparities. So what happens is in a lot of cases, politicians avoid raising taxes on other sources of revenue. Instead, they will take gambling taxes. And the lottery is particularly bad in this regard, as there is a strong positive relationship between lottery ticket sales and poverty rates. So actually, the most typical lottery player is a black male high school dropout making less than $10,000 a year. So that all that actually has implications for health. So things like that, I think people don't always anticipate when they're looking at casinos.
In your opinion, why don't we hear more about the public health costs of gambling?
Well, I think that's a really important question, and I think that there are a few reasons, some having to do with the influence of the gambling industry and some having to do with just the stature of public health in our society. First of all, one reason I think is there just isn't a lot of public health research in this area compared to drugs or alcohol addiction. Research like what types of populations are most likely to become addicted to gambling. Are there certain environments where gambling addiction is more common? Things like that. And the National Institutes of Health, which are the fund the majority of public health research, they don't actually have a national center that funds research into addictions that aren't drug or alcohol addictions. So they have a center for drug addictions, another center for alcohol addictions, but if somebody wants to do a gambling addiction study, they typically have to tie it into drug or alcohol addiction. I think researchers I spoke with seem to think it would be more useful if the NIH had a broader way to fund addiction. The second reason I think that the public health aspect of gambling isn't really widely discussed is that the American Gaming Association, which is the trade organization for casinos and like slot machine manufacturers, they fund a research center called the National Council for Responsible Gambling. And they will tell you that that center is independent from them. It has a scientific review board, and that is all true. The thing is about that organization, they fund research into gambling addiction that look mostly at neuroscientific brain activity type studies and correlates into gambling addiction. So that tends to focus the research, or that tends to focus the attention on the person, the individual, and kind of and makes it seem that gambling is something, you know, just in the head of the addict. And they have done a few studies that look at the relationship between the availability of gambling and addiction, but they really have not funded a lot of research on that.
Recently, we have seen in communities across the nation that some local citizens have become more frustrated with gambling activities and have begun to push back against casino expansion in their communities. In the article, you talk about citizen opposition to casinos in Massachusetts and New York, and we have certainly seen the same thing here in North Carolina, where citizens in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, right along the North Carolina-South Carolina border, about 30 miles west of Charlotte, are fighting a proposed casino by the South Carolina-based Catawba Indian Nation. Why do you think some Americans are saying no, and saying no in pretty significant terms, to more casino gambling?
Yeah, and I'm sorry I did not get to cover the North Carolina situation in my article. It's interesting. There were actually, I think, so many cases now of active opposition groups against casinos that I couldn't fit them all into my article. But I do think Americans know, and this is speculation, but Americans now, you know, 25 years after casinos started really becoming popular, they've seen what casinos do. And so in the early 1990s, when basically no state, I think just about no state, had a casino except New Jersey and Nevada, we didn't know that much. And so casino companies were able to come in and say, this is going to bring benefits, this is going to bring jobs, this is going to bring taxes. And today we're actually seeing, like, in Atlantic City, in Delaware, in Connecticut, huge losses in revenues. Atlantic City, as you know, I'm sure, had four casinos closed this year, thousands of jobs lost. And Atlantic City itself has really had, it's historically been a city that's had a lot of problems, but it's clear that the casino economy has not improved any of them. So I think that there is really just more, you know, people see the history now. And I also think that there's a feeling that promoting a gambling economy is kind of an antithetical to the idea of saving economy, investing in the economy. It's predatory toward its citizens rather than encouraging of its citizens.
Well, in the research that we have done, it shows that the easier access to gambling that exists, the more individuals are going to gamble. And the more individuals that gamble, the more likely that those individuals are to become addicted gamblers and either develop a pathological or problem gambling issue. One of the things that may be contributing to this is that there are just more and more and more citizens, particularly in these communities that have gambling and easy access to gambling, that are being touched by a gambling addiction. And whether or not they are dealing with a gambling addiction themselves, or it's someone within their family or a friend, a neighbor, more and more people are being touched by the effects of gambling addiction. And so I think that people are becoming more and more sensitized to it and understand that all of the false claims that are often made about the hundreds or thousands of jobs that a casino is going to produce within a community and all of the economic benefits really not only don't take place, but there are all these other harms that come along with it. Elaine, one of the particularly interesting parts of your article deals with how some anti-gambling groups are comparing gambling addiction to cigarette addiction and arguing that gambling should be regulated in a similar fashion to cigarettes and tobacco. Tell us more about that and how it is being used in at least one lawsuit against the gambling industry.
So I'll first say just about the tobacco industry. They ended up having to settle for billions of dollars for making deceptive claims in their advertising to encourage people to buy cigarettes and for basically lying about the addictive effects of cigarettes. So a few lawsuits that have been filed allege that that is what casinos have done through offering very sophisticatedly engineered slot machines, and also aggressively marketing to people who have a clear gambling problem. For example, if frequent customers who spend a lot of money at casinos, allowing them to take out credit there, offering to fly them to various casinos or giving them complimentary food and drinks and things like that to keep them spending money. Some lawsuits allege that casinos have a duty to care that they're violating when they do that. Now, so far, those arguments haven't won in court, but there is this new case that you touched on that it was filed by an attorney in Indiana, and he's representing the family of a man who is a, you know, just a businessman in Ohio and in kind of an upstanding citizen from what I understand, and he became addicted to gambling, and eventually it led him to lose his job because he embezzled $6 or $7 million, and he ended up committing suicide. So this personal injury lawsuit, just like the tobacco lawsuit. So it's alleging that the casinos and the machine companies are liable for his death. And I think this would be the first lawsuit if it gets through the initial motion that might try to throw it out. This would be the first to try product liability claims, which you know, which could be very interesting. And also the last thing I'll say is that this organization I mentioned earlier called the Public Health Advocacy Institute filed a friend of the court brief in Massachusetts, which is looking at, which is facing a lot of casino opposition. And they have actually said they think legalized gambling causes the same devastating effects to the public's health as cigarettes, and that the gambling industry has mirrored the tobacco industry's strategy of creating scientific doubt where no doubt truly exists. So it's kind of interesting, these parallels.
Well, that definitely is interesting, and we'll be very interested to follow the progression of this and potentially similar future action in the courts with gambling devices and potential product liability issues. Well, Elaine, unfortunately, we're nearly out of time for this week. Where can our listeners go to get a copy of your article, Gambling with America's Health, The Public Health Cost of Legal Gambling?
Sure. Thanks for asking. So they can go to the 2x2project.org, and that's the 2x2project.org, and then it's /gambling-public-health.
Great. Let me repeat that. It's the 2x2project.org. Again, T-H-E, the number 2, the letter X, the number 2project.org, and we certainly know that many of our listeners will be interested to visit your website and read your report and learn more about this. This is an issue that the North Carolina Family Policy Council cares deeply about. We have been working to educate lawmakers and the public on the myriad of negative harms associated with gambling, and particularly as we have the prospects of yet another Indian gambling casino cropping up in our state, if the Catawba Indian Nation is successful with their efforts, with which we certainly hope that they are not. But I think that this information is really informative and very important for folks, particularly in those communities, to understand. So we will definitely encourage them to listen to this show, as well as avail themselves of the information on the 2x2project.org. Well, Elaine Meyer, thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for sharing your insights on the public health cost of gambling with us.
And thanks so much, John, to you and for this opportunity and for the work that you're doing on gambling.
Well, it's our pleasure, and we appreciate you caring enough about this issue to spend your time and energy looking into it and publishing such a worthwhile and important report. So, Elaine Meyer, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Before we close, I'd like to invite you to follow the North Carolina Family Policy Council on Facebook. Just log in and find us at ncfamily.org. Again, at ncfamily.org. Be sure to like us when you visit. In addition, for instant updates on pro-family news of interest, follow us on Twitter at ncfamily.org. Again, that's at ncfamily.org.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800. or visit our website at ncfamily.org.